From the very cold and snowy heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Interfacing with Death. Fascinating discussion coming up later on tonight. Here's what's happening. Investigators in California have revealed that another seven sets of human remains have been found in the northern part of the state's campfire area, bringing the total number of people killed now to 63, and they have upped the missing to 631 people. They cannot find them. Sad story, folks. Let's continue praying for rain. They say it's in the Thanksgiving forecast. We need it sooner. The fire is about 35-36% contained. New government research shows that the tick-borne diseases like Lyme disease continue to rise. The report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds that in 2017, state and local health departments reported a record number of cases of illness spread by ticks. What's behind the increase? Scientists say the reason for the surge in tick-borne diseases? Still unclear. The Food and Drug Administration has announced sweeping new restrictions on flavored tobacco products, including electronic cigarettes, popular among teens, in an effort to prevent a new generation of nicotine addicts. The much-anticipated announcement will mean that only tobacco, mint, and menthol e-cigarette flavors can be sold at most traditional retail outlets, such as convenience stores. Other fruity or sweet-flavored varieties can now only be sold at age-restricted stores or through online merchants that use age verification checks. Listen to this bizarre story. Researchers have used a neural network to generate artificial fingerprints that work as a master key for biometric identification systems and prove that fake fingerprints can now be created. Our expert on such things, Lauren Weinstein, with us. Lauren, this is kind of dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've talked about biometrics like fingerprints before, and we've faced this problem. Once your biometric information has been compromised, how do you ever get a new set, right? It's hard to get new retinas or new fingerprints. So what's happened now is that we've moved beyond the gummy bear stage. You'll recall there was discussion years ago about how gummy bears could be used to fake some of the early fingerprint identification systems and then add-ons to that to make them feel warm so because there would be temperature checks in the sensors and things like that. This is a whole new approach. What's happening now is they are using machine learning, essentially AI techniques, to generate what amount to master fingerprints, almost like master keys. So instead of concentrating on an individual fingerprint, they're leveraging the way that these fingerprint sensors work. Normally, they don't see the entire surface of a finger. They just see part of it when you use a fingerprint scanner. So the scanners and the software behind them make certain assumptions. They're looking for certain patterns. It appears that it has become possible through these machine learning techniques to generate patterns that have a very high likelihood compared with any ordinary fingerprint with being a false positive. So it means what it ultimately means is it's not very useful if you wanted to target a particular person because you're not going to find a particular fingerprint. But if you're trying to scan large numbers of people and you're doing it in kind of a scattershot fashion, it's going to generate many cases where it falses, where you get a false positive.
Well, what if you want to commit a crime and leave these phony fingerprints all over the place?
Well, that's a different situation, because that situation you're talking about individual fingerprints. But what's so powerful about this is it means that mass authentication systems, and there are a lot of moves now for obvious reasons toward biometric authentication, in some cases with nothing but the biometric, not a password, not a username. If you can develop a master pattern, a master fingerprint pattern, which is what this system is doing, that can unlock, say, 1%, even a tenth of 1% of a large number of accounts, that's going to be a very, very effective kind of attack.
What a story. Lauren Weinstein, IR expert on the Internet.
Yesterday, when I was young, so many happy songs were waiting to be sung.
Country star Roy Clark, the legendary singer, with an ear-to-ear smile. Yeah, what a great singer, who headlined the hit TV show Hee Haw for nearly a quarter century has died. He was 85 years old. He had pneumonia. Just listen to his song.
I never stopped to think what life was all about. And every conversation I can now recall concerns itself with me and nothing else at all.
Roy Clark, dead at the age of 85. God, he will be missed. Tulsa, Oklahoma is offering remote workers $10,000 each to move there. The city is joining the ranks of other locations in the U.S., including Vermont and Maine, advertising incentives to workers for relocating. Tulsa claims it is the ideal city for remote workers due to the array of museums, low cost of living, and food and drink scenes. How about that? $10,000 to move to Tulsa, they say. What looks to be a large impact crater has been identified beneath the Greenland ice sheet. The 31-kilometer-wide depression came to light when scientists examined radar images of the island's bedrock. Investigators suggest the feature was probably dug out by a 1.5-kilometer-wide iron asteroid sometime between 12,000 and 3 million years ago. And a new map revealing the remnants of ancient continents lurking where? Beneath Antarctica's ice. Antarctica's ice, the South Pole. Maybe that's why they're all down there looking around. What else are they looking around for? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, what do you have for us this week?
Good evening, George.
Hi.
It makes me wonder whether Tulsa needs any more UFO investigators. That sounds like pretty good pay to me. The big news this week is about the sighting over Ireland, and congratulations to Coast and its inveterate host for covering that story so well. It makes me think that the press is not paying close enough attention to what's going on in the UFO field.
Yep.
And they ought to be listening to Coast more frequently than they are. You may recall last week I said I was going to limit myself to four reports, and of course, you probably noticed I got only three, and I started running out of time and had to kick one out. I'm going to start with that report. It's so good.
Okay.
It comes from Salt Lake City, the 7th of November, Wednesday, of course, the day after Election Day. A gentleman was out walking at 7:10 p.m., and he looked up in the sky. His attention was drawn to the sky, actually, and he saw a V-shaped object fly over. Of course, there are a lot of V-shaped aircraft, but this one had a subtle lighting pattern all the way around it and white lights on its ventral surface. So I wanted to get that report in, principally because it leads me to the second report I'd like to share with our audience tonight. This one comes from the Mount Rainier area, 30th of October, last month. At 11:45 a.m., a businessman was flying from Yakima, Washington, northwest up to Seattle to catch a flight out of Seattle. Looked out his side window as he was gazing at Mount Rainier, and he saw a V-shaped object. Saw it for only 20 seconds or less, he estimates. Very nice report, very well prepared. Next one comes from the next day, the 8th of November, Thursday, last week. A woman was walking with her dogs and a friend in Apex, North Carolina, just west of Raleigh, North Carolina. They were flabbergasted to have an object pass right overhead. It was very, very large. She estimated that it was as large as her house. It was almost totally silent except for a deep-throated humming sound. She was walking with her friend, a pilot, and he said he's never seen anything like it. Her neighbor saw the same thing and said she had never seen anything like it. The object continued over a row of trees, and it descended into a nearby field and apparently then ascended and disappeared in the night sky. Very nicely prepared report as well. The next report, if I can turn to it, comes from Monroe, Washington, the 9th of November. Four adults saw two red objects. At first they thought they were meteors, but they were so regular, such sharp edges, that they quickly realized that was not what they were. They descended to behind the horizon to the east of Monroe, and settled on the horizon and created a distinct red glow in the night sky. There are other reports, but I'll save them until next week, George.
We'll see you on Thanksgiving night, all right?
Yep, I'll see you then.
Okay.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Several years ago, we had a guest on Coast to Coast. His name, Christian Wild. And while he was on talking about one of his books, this one I believe was The Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke, I mentioned to him about turmeric. I said, you know, Christian, you ought to investigate this. I think it is a wonder supplement. And so he did. And for the last several years, he's been reporting on it on his website, myheartbook.com. Now comes the medical profession's unprecedented growing interest in turmeric, with more than 6,500 biomedical studies in the record, and how this spice is able to break the blood-brain barrier. What does that all mean? Christian Wild is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Christian Wild, our guest for the next couple hours, author, researcher who has devoted some of his life and a lot of it to helping others avoid health-related issues. Christian became aware of his own non-cholesterol-related heart disease, which inspired him to help others. His website, myheartbook.com, is something I would welcome all of you to go to on a regular basis, because he's got lots of new information on there all the time. And tonight we're going to talk about a number of subjects and take your calls next hour, but we'll talk about the turmeric episode and blood-brain barrier and what all that means. But Christian, welcome. You all ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, I am.
Good for you, my friend.
I picked out my turkey. Like the White House, I'm going to let one of them go.
How many pounds?
Probably, for me and my wife, probably 5 pounds.
That's a small turkey.
Unless we go out of town to see family out of town. George, your intro was right on. You are a man of encouragement and foresight, because it seems like a lifetime ago since you first encouraged me to study and report on the potential of turmeric for your listeners.
Had you heard about turmeric before I mentioned it to you?
I had mentioned it in my first book on how turmeric had been found at the University of Ontario to shrink the enlarged heart in heart failure. But you were the one that told me to go out there and do it. And that was a time when very little attention was being paid to this spice, even though it had been the mainstay of Eastern medicine for literally thousands of years. Today, the West has discovered the life-altering benefits of turmeric. So over the past 20 years, particularly, I guess, in the last 7 years, there have been literally thousands of scientific biomedical studies documenting how this spice is showing an ability to help over 650 medical conditions, and that would include arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and the most sophisticated neurological brain conditions that we're going to discuss tonight. Alzheimer's disease, dementia, depression, Parkinson's, bipolar, schizophrenia, Huntington disease, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Jeez.
It's showing that in studies without any side effects.
See, initially, when I got interested in it, it was inflammation, you know, how to make your heart and your arteries pump a little better. But as you got into this and branched out, you know, we began to realize this thing has medicinal properties that truly are unbelievable. Now, you mentioned 6,500 biomedical studies so far on the record. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, because no pharmaceutical drug could ever boast about that kind of scrutiny.
No.
And, you know, it's an oversimplified explanation, but all of these neural diseases I just mentioned, they have one thing in common. They are all the result of inflammation, like you mentioned, but more particularly, they are the product of dead or dying brain neuron cells, as we're going to see. So how much promise lies here for families, for everyone, for you and me? And this is just one of many supporting studies to prove the point, George.
Somebody emailed me earlier today, about 23-year-old, And they said, you know, I love your paranormal shows and your ghosts, and you're going to be talking about the afterlife later on tonight. But what is this about this turmeric? What are you doing about this? Why do I need to learn this? I'm 23. And I emailed him back and said, because I want you to listen to this program maybe long after I'm gone when you're 80.
Good point.
So I hope he gets...
Good point.
You mentioned the blood-brain barrier. What is that?
Very important.
What is that?
A lot of people contact me and ask me about it. But the study that I was going to mention, several studies have now determined that turmeric increases the brain hormone BDNF, which in fact also increases the development of new and regeneration of neural cells. They've proved that.
After years telling us the brain never has new cells, that once they die, they die.
That's it. It's over. Fini. Well, we should note that even though the FDA is behind all of these studies, the agency has not yet approved turmeric for any condition. And I'm always reminded of what Professor Andrew Weil said a few years ago. You and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
He said the benefits of turmeric may be too many to mention, and that appears to be the truth. Blood-brain barrier, what is it? What's its purpose?
What does it do?
What does it do? Well, it's an ingenious protective shield that our bodies have developed over thousands of years to guard what is allowed to enter our sensitive brains and to protect the central nervous system. The BBB, as it's often called, filters harmful pathogens, microorganisms, toxins, chemicals. The unfortunate problem is that sometimes it does its job too well. For example, if cancer drugs for brain tumors are blocked from entrance, nothing gets done. At the same time, for some reason, illicit drugs like meth and heroin pass right through the barrier to tragically addict unsuspecting users. Also, alcohol makes its way through as well. And you've heard the term. We've all heard the term, one drink goes straight to my head. Well, it's true. So there is some good news in all this, George. And that is that turmeric breaks through the barrier with no difficulty. And it may be used as a Trojan horse to bring therapy to the brain. But the fact that it is able to go into the brain with its healing properties and develops new neurons, who's ever heard of that before? Short and simple, if a pharmaceutical drug to help the brain condition cannot pass through the gatekeeper, it will have failed. And a perfect example is the promising Alzheimer's drug Eli Lilly had in development for several years. They were so high on this drug, but after several late-stage attempts, the drug failed to breach the blood-brain barrier and was discontinued. Turmeric has no problem breaking through.
And what's so great about turmeric? It's inexpensive. It's a supplement. You don't need a prescription.
Very true, George. Very, very true.
Let's talk a little bit about arthritis. And, oh, by the way, you know, next hour when we take phone calls, I want to take a few minutes to talk about your plan called Operation Wildfire to fight mass fires. You've got a great idea.
I'll be very grateful.
And we'll talk about that.
Coast to coast for that. Also want to tell you, thank you for playing Roy Clark's song.
Oh, I love that song.
Nice touch.
I love it. Speaking of songs, do you have a little Christmas song for us later?
You're going to have O Holy Night recorded specially for you and Tom.
I want to play that on Christmas Eve.
That'd be wonderful.
You just get it to us.
Let it go to charity.
Super. I love that. But we're going to come up on a break pretty soon, Kristen, but I want to come back and talk about arthritis. Exactly what is that? How many people suffer from this affliction? What's the age bracket? It's not just older adults, young people are coming down with this too, and turmeric can help that. So much more to talk about. And in our second hour, Next hour, we will open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to talk to Christian Wild. His website, myheartbook.com. Go ahead and take a look at it. He is very helpful and user-friendly to help you out. And also, there's some new guidelines that we had announced months ago about blood pressure. We'll get Christian's reaction to that, too. Saving lives, at least for a moment, on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as we turn the corner for the rest of the year, Saturday, March 23rd, we'll be in Everett, Washington, that grand city, at the historic Everett Theater for our live stage show with some great guests, music, audience participation, a meet and greet thereafter. And we checked in on the tickets today, and they're going like crazy. But they've opened up more sections, and they're available to you. So there are a couple ways you can get your seats. And come in from anywhere. You can vacation. As a matter of fact, Bob Crane and his wife, Susan, Bob Crane from the C. Crane Company, he wants to come out, too. So you know what? I'm not going to tell him, but we may bring him up on stage to say hi. But you can get your tickets by calling this number at the Historic Everett Theater, 425-258-6766. That's 425-258-6766. Or, of course, coasttocoastam.com. At the top, click the events on the homepage or the carousel reel, that revolving series of pictures. You'll see the link to the Historic Everett Theater. And welcome back to Coast, Christian Wild with us. We'll take calls next hour. I know lots of you are interested in the things that Christian talks about as we talk about the turmeric. His website is myheartbook.com. Christian, for those people who think they know what arthritis is, but not really, could you explain what this affliction is?
It is a very serious, painful disease. It affects the joints. They find when they've gone back in Egypt and looked at mummies and then run them through scanners or MRIs, they found that even 14-year-olds were showing the development of arthritis back then. It is a crippling disease, and it can start very young. Before I do that, George, let me give you one more study on neurodegenerative cells. And that study was published in journal Stem Cell Research and Therapy. Scientists had discovered that when they put neural stem cells in a petri dish and bathe them in extracts from turmeric, up to 80% more of the stem cells grew and regenerated into neurons.
Jeez.
Back to arthritis. The big problem, you asked how many people, if I remember right, there are 350 million people worldwide suffering from crippling arthritis.
All ages, right?
All ages, yeah. And there is, if I remember not right now, it's 40 million in the United States and 20 million, that's from rheumatoid, and another 20 million from debilitating osteoarthritis. Well,
what is it, Christian, though, that causes the pain?
The pain is the inflammation.
Aha, okay.
We talk about inflammatory diseases, and that's why turmeric is so effective. Turmeric has outperformed, and you can look this up, all of the NSAIDs that people have been taking. It has outperformed Aleve, Naprosyn, Celebrex, any of them, Difenelic. Any of them were outperformed without side effects. 17,000 people every year die from the NSAIDs. So taking down the inflammation and being able to do it without side effects.
What causes the inflammation for arthritis?
It is the destruction of the joints, the swelling of the joints as they play upon each other. It is a debilitating disease. Ask anybody, particularly elderly people. It's probably the one thing that affects their retirement more than anything. They'd like to do physical things, but the pain is just too. As these joints swell and these tissues swell, which they do with inflammation, it creates the problem.
My grandfather on my mother's side, my mother's father, out there in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. who's not with us anymore, had rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm.
When I knew him, and I was a little boy, every time we'd go to Massachusetts from Detroit, Christian, he'd be in his room. He was basically bedridden and wheelchair ridden. He was always in a wheelchair or his bed. And his fingers, because I always remember, he'd always want me to come up and hug him, and I was scared. I was a little boy, and his fingers were almost at 90-degree angles.
That's right.
I mean, they were that crippled. Mm-hmm. And I just, as a little kid, I said, "Mommy, what's wrong with Grandpa? What?" Mm-hmm. And she would say, "He's got rheumatoid arthritis." I didn't know what that was. I was 6, 7 years old, for crying out loud.
I would say we hear more from people who benefit from turmeric who have arthritis. I have stories, and probably a lot of them are on the website, but more than anything else, people who are suffering from, and I know there's many out there tonight that I have talked to, who've been suffering with debilitating rheumatoid arthritis, see a great turnaround in a matter of days, literally.
I want you to explain briefly, if you could, for our audience, the things that you have been doing. I'm going to ask you to kind of like take a bow for our coast listeners who have had severe heart situations and some of the things you've done for them.
Well, I haven't told you that I'm working on some of your people right now. I'm trying to get them into trials. I feel I have to do this. Coast to Coast has been good to me. And right now there are congestive heart failure trials with stem cells recruiting in Florida, California, San Diego, and Los Angeles, Kentucky, and New York.
And some of our listeners contact you, and you try to get them in the programs, don't you?
Right. And I am doing that all the time. But we've had some wonderful stories of people who were all given up for dead, because what happens is they come to me and say they are a no-option patient.
You're the last stage for them.
I guess so.
Basically.
You want me to tell you one story?
Yeah, please.
The guy that I'm working on, one of your listeners, he came to me 2 years ago, and he said he was told there was nothing left they could do for him. He had quite a history. And I said, you know what? Tell me why they're telling you that. So he told me that he had no more blood flow, and et cetera, et cetera. He had open heart surgeries and things like this. I said, there is something that can be done for you. I want you to go back to them and ask them to put you on a program that will develop some little arterial arteries around the blocked arteries.
They'd grow themselves.
Open hearts, okay? So he went back and said, it's called EECP, and he said, can I have that? And they said, well, we'll have to talk about it in our meeting. Once a week we have a meeting, cardiovascular. So they had the meeting, and they came out and said, we're going to give it to you. So he did it. After the fifth one, he called me and said, you know what? I don't think I'm imagining it, but I'm feeling stronger, and I have more blood flow. I can feel it. Okay.
That's like a pressure pumping thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, the way to build our little arteries around your blocked artery. So I said, now I want you to go back to them. And he went back to them and asked them for a second regimen, and they gave it to him. So I said, now go back to them and say, why am I not a candidate for a defibrillator and a pacemaker? Why am I not a candidate? They had their meeting. And they said, we're going to give you both of them. So he now has them. I explained to him that he's probably not going to make it while we're trying to get him into a trial. But if he has a defibrillator and a pacemaker,
could keep him going. Could keep him going. And is the goal to get the pacemaker and the defib out of him so he doesn't have to use it? Is the goal to get the pacemaker out of his system?
Eventually. Yeah, eventually, but it'll keep you alive as you're waiting for the program. So that's what I'm doing with him, and right now we're getting ready to interview him for a trial.
Oh, that would be great, Chris.
And then you and I, George, I always say you and I because I couldn't do it without you. You really care about people, and we've gotten some people along the way here, including a heart transplant. And it's encouraging to know that if you stay on something long enough, you may get it done.
Remember the great case of Billy? God rest his soul.
He made you cry, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He ended up dying of liver cancer, didn't he?
No, pancreatic.
Pancreatic, which is this is what Patrick Swayze got.
Yeah,
the actor, same kind of thing. But Billy could barely walk when he called our program years ago.
Yeah,
and Kristen got him into programs. And
heart attacks when he called.
Yep, he didn't die of a heart problem, that's
no,
for sure.
He didn't. And in the 2 years it took me to get him in the University of Utah, he had two more heart attacks. So he had seven heart attacks. And he was doing great. He came out to California. I said, why are you coming out here? He said, I want to thank you. I said, you don't owe me a thing. Don't come. He said, no, I insist on it. So he came out here and spent a few days. Then he went back and said, I am dying of pancreatic cancer, which he did.
He had it when I met him in Boise, Idaho,
I believe. That's right. You were speaking in Boise.
Yeah. Yeah. I had him stand up.
Wow. That was a big thrill for him.
That was something.
He loved you. He listened to you all through since you started.
Yeah. He was a great guy. Yeah. And fun. What you gave him, though, you gave him the gift of life, even if it was for a couple of years.
You know what's funny is... we all appreciate, like my song, Geese Mate for Life, and it talks about when you suddenly have a new lease on life, you suddenly realize how you've wasted years, and the time that you have left, you accomplish more and appreciate more of this life you've been given.
You sure do. You sure do. What else are you working on these days? You never stop.
Well, but believe it or not, George, this fire protocol is very close to my heart.
Well, let's talk about this. We're coming up on the end of the break anyway.
Okay.
Well, you know, we've got these tragedies in California, 63 people dead, 631 people missing now. That could be even higher. Mm-hmm. But you have a plan to minimize these fires. Go ahead.
I absolutely do. And I'll tell you the kind of professional encouragement that I've had with it. Many, many years ago, I was watching the fires destroy wonderfully valued forest land, and I saw a helicopter drop some water and then disappear for 45 minutes. And when he got back, the wind had come up and the fire was already on its way. So I entered a contest, the California Resource Board, if you have any ideas that could save public lands and benefit the public, jot them down and send it in, and I did, and I won an award. I called it Operation Wildfire. Now, a few years pass, and I'm watching terrible fire destruction in the state of Washington. I take it out, and I send it to Major General Frank Scoggins, of the Tacoma, Washington Air National Guard. George, within 30 minutes, I get a response. He says, Christian Wild, I'm coming to you, or you're coming to me.
Wow.
We have to talk. He said, I can have you fly up here in one of our planes out of Burbank. And so I went up and I met with him. He said, I've studied your proposal for 3 days. I don't see a thing wrong with it. And so here's what it is. Basically, I was saying that sitting on the tarmacs of the western states are several C-130 Hercules airplane air tankers that are already outfitted and retrofitted with bladders. They were already flying whenever they're needed.
And these are the big planes. These are big.
These are big. And so my point was, why are they sitting there when they could, in an off-season, during fire season, be sitting on an independent tarmac in one of the western states? They could attack any fire within 2 or 3 hours. And my plan with the Major General was you hit it with like 4 or 5 planes east to west, and then the other 5 planes checkerboard and go south,
mm-hmm.
north,
and they're south. And they're full of water, I guess, right?
Yeah, water or retardant, and they stop that fire before it gets out of control. And I believe that the current way of fighting fires was adequate and out of touch with what is needed. And so the major general said, Christian, I'll tell you what, I want you to present your proposal to the major generals of five states in the West. I'm going to tell them you're going to be contacting them. And I did. And every one of them sent me their approval. But they also mentioned the military cannot put something like this forward. So, George, about 4 years ago, Colorado and the Waldo fire had destroyed tremendous acres of fire. Mm-hmm. By fire. So now I contact the director of Rangeland Health Forestry, and she reads it, and she says, I'll tell you what, I want to make a couple of little logistical changes, and then I want you to, I'm going to present this from you to the 17 governors of the Western Conference. They meet once a year in an annual meeting. And I'm going to suggest that they implement this proposal as a pilot program before next fire season. And we never heard a thing from anybody.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
No. Keep in mind, George, the planes are already outfitted. You don't have to spend millions on each one.
The rank and file, they all love this thing. They love this program, but it doesn't get through the politicians.
Right. And if your Coast to Coast listeners read it on my website, and they want to be the ones to send this around and send it to their congresspeople, et cetera, I would be most grateful. I think it's common sense.
Why isn't California using it right now?
Why didn't they implement it? Yeah.
I mean, once the fire gets going, is it too late to use the 130s?
No, if you bring them in mass. Bring them in, put the fire out, and go home.
It's like dumping the ocean on it.
That's right.
All right, Christian, stay with us. Good idea. MyHeartBook.com. Next hour, phone calls with Christian Wild about things that will affect you and your health. Hey, there's nothing more important. Trust me.